Yeah, hey guys, as you know, we are sponsored by Rollbit. 59 episodes running now.
Wait, whoa. They're saying nothing in spaces is working. Is that true?
Oh, not again.
Well, I don't know. Spaces, I think it is working.
I mean, that's not what chat's saying. Oh, it's working. I just heard.
Yeah. If you're listening to space, can you give like a thumbs up if you can hear us?
We've had issues with spaces before, but something is definitely playing. Yeah, some people.
I see thumbs up. Yeah, I see people here. Yeah.
We just got trolled.
We got trolled again.
Oh, was that a troll?
Yeah, we're getting spotted.
Sometimes it doesn't work. Spaces has been bugging, so it doesn't work for some people. But so sorry if it doesn't work for you.
I don't know. It wasn't our fault. Anyway, get back to Rollbit, our sponsor.
Yeah, sponsored by Rollbit. Check out rollbit.com. 2 codes giveaway. Loot box spin at the end. The first code is BOLDRECT2521, BOLDRECT2521. And if you don't understand what I'm saying when I read out the code, then you can just go fuck yourself.
Jeez, we got some...
Wow.
I think we saw a bear show SF earlier in the week. Now we got Mino SF. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I'm having like a midlife crisis.
You changed the dark mode. Or light mode.
It's all dark mode now. Yeah, I lost the plot.
It's literally turned.
I think he said one beer. He said one sip of a beer. He's getting a bit leery. Yeah, I know. Mm. Questionable beer. It's a mango
beer. Yeah, it's a hazy IPA.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Fuck yeah. All right. Let's get into it. I don't know what's happened this week. I guess the market went down. People lost their shit. They realized that things don't just go up; they also go down. I know that's hard to conceptualize for a lot of people for some reason, just like it's hard to conceptualize for me that they only go up in straight lines. Typically, it does go down as well. It's not even, I think it's the back to prices not seen since like 2 weeks ago, which is obviously devastating. For those of us on 1,000x leverage and on Rollbit, the whole book is wiped. But, you know, I mean, if you didn't do that, you're probably pretty chill. We're still above 40K. Maybe, I don't know. Aren't we right around there?
Yeah, we were above 40K briefly. We're still just above 40K. Let's see where the show ends. But definitely 40K on the way down felt horrific compared to 40K on the way up, as it always does. But I think everyone got wiped out.
ETH is pretty terrible, though. ETH is just dusty.
ETH is a dog, right? Like, it really felt like it was going to lead. And then the moment that ETF thing happened, it was like, oh, yeah. It doesn't feel like the ETF is going to be positive now. And then it's gone back to where it was in November. It's like, it's back to where it was.
It's kind of like what people were joking about. They're like, as soon as ETH moves, the whole thing's over. And it turns out that was the case.
Yeah. So
basically, you know, don't let your memes become dreams or something, or now it's real. I don't know.
Obviously, a bit of background. Obviously, I think I was the one who first started seeing you. I think Farouk put me onto your stuff very early on. And then I reached out and we started working together on Red Guy, then on Mando Minutes. But you've obviously like had a huge year coming up. Do you prefer making memes in the bear market or the bull market now? Like, when has the market been most fun for you in terms of making memes?
Look, I guess the truth of it is, as much as I'd like to avoid it, like, there is that dopamine hit, isn't there, of like likes and whatever. Like, at the end of the day, like, there's something where you're just hardwired to, if you get a like, you're like, oh, it's like appreciation. Like, you do that thing of like, ooh, like, this one's good. Like, as much as you joke about it, there is a real sort of like enjoyment of that side of it. So certainly in like the sort of deep bear and getting 5 likes on something when I was first starting out, given that that's like one of my sort of main metrics, yeah, it was hard. It was definitely harder, but the stuff that you can do, I guess the kind of purpose of it is kind of easier. Cause, and I think that's why we tied together as like Wrecked Guys and sort of Bold. Cause the idea is being able to laugh at the crap bits.
People love the shared trauma, you know?
Yeah, but that's
it's a bonding experience.
But it is. And I think that was the thing that I didn't fully understand until, you know, the deeper down the rabbit hole you go. And you get onto the Discords, and I still remember first going onto a Discord and someone, and I've done like kind of a few comics that have filled that theme, but like, oh, I just lost $1,000. Like, ha ha. And I was like, yeah. And for me, I'm like tearing my eyes out. Like, what is going on? Like, I've lost. Oh my God, I'll never recover, never financially recover from this. But like that concept of like people just being so okay about it just cracked me up. And like, that's kind of pulled me through most of the stuff. And stopped me from feeling like.
I remember you saying that you saw something about like a rug versus a robbery. Like the fact that in this space, it's like,
that's literally become me as well, like, as in you just slowly embody that over time, like, which still feels so alien, and when you stare at it like that you go, oh shit, yeah. It's the same as like OSF just before the show talking about not buying a mic that costs like whatever like $100, and he's like on contact with customer service like, I really need to get this sorted out. It's like, just buy a friggin' new one. Like, Jesus Christ, you lost like 25 grand to today.
Audio. He's trying to get out doing audio for the show is what is written down there.
It is. No matter how much crypto you have, like fiat just feels so much more expensive. Like,
so expensive, man. So expensive.
It's funny money. Like, and if you get paid at any point in crypto, like, it's probably going to go back into like degenning in crypto. So it's
it's the same as a casino, right? I mean, they're chips for a reason. You're not gambling $100 bills. Detach you from that physical reality a little bit, and you lost.
Whenever I withdraw, I like freak out as well, like, as in how real it starts. Because I remember, like, I did literally sell the peak of ETH, right? But it was one of those funny stories in terms of I sold 0.1 of ETH at the peak. And it was to prove to my partner that it could be cashed out. And she sort of said, I don't believe you. I don't believe that this is all real. She's like, there's no way. And I was like, you watch me. And I sold like 0.1 to prove this point and put it into a bank account within like the hour. And I was like, shit, this is actually a significant, and I was like, all right, and then just moved on, and then obviously completely missed the top and sold it all in a panic months later. But yeah, you can check the chain. I think I sold like $3 off the top for 0.1. It was wonderful.
that's a good feeling. I actually think that mentally, even selling anything close to the top or buying it at the bottom, even if you bought like any sort of amount, feels good. But how did you come up? Like, how did this all become? Because you feel like a crypto OG with the nature of the memes. You feel like you know the culture, like you've been around for a long time. But yeah, how did you first start getting into crypto? It's clearly hilarious, but how did you get into memes? Were you just doing art before, or what's the background?
It's funny. It's a specific like thing, I guess, now in terms of like the crossover of what I have to be interested in, because I have to be invested, because otherwise I don't feel the emotions. Like, I have to, you know what I mean? It's all these kind of crossovers. But yeah, I got into crypto. Like, I was one who sort of entered through the depths of like the crappy YouTubers, you know, like bloody, I think one of my mates who's literally in Dubai sent me like the Moon Carl. Like this was like my onboarding process. But then I sort of thought I was being intelligent by looking at Ben Cohen, I think it is.
Cowan,
Cowan, that's it.
Yeah.
Kyle Chase.
And no, not Kyle Chase. I'd literally never seen him until Chassé. I literally turned the show. But yeah, look, I was watching his, and I still remember, you know, you get pulled in, don't you? And you sort of watch these hour-long things, and I knew nothing about TA or whatever. And there's this guy, and he was. I remember him saying, ETH might never be under $500 again. And I was like,
oh. I actually said that about Bitcoin recently with 45,000, and people keep retweeting at me like I was serious. in my mentions all the time now. I bet you that guy who said that regrets it too. Real pie on my face moment right now. Egg on my face.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is for you right now. But the odd thing with him was, I think that was the last time it was.
$500. Yeah, he called it right.
Yeah, so that was when I joined. Yeah, so he's better than you, basically, KBM. So maybe, you know, pay some respects. But like,
I'm gonna get him on the show. Then I have a theme of getting YouTube influencers that neither OSF or KBM have ever heard of. So get them smile on.
Bring him in.
Yeah. Well, that was it. So it was just that, and he said, you know, oh, it'll never be below $500 again. And I remember I just dumped like the kind of, you know, the smallest amount of money. I think I bought like an ETH or two ETH. I didn't really do much with it. I just like watched it relentlessly every 15 seconds. And then my mate told me about Top Shots and NFTs. And the first, because at the time, like the concept of on-chain, like was alien to me completely. Like I had my ETH in CoinSpot. Like I just hadn't bothered to do anything since first learning about it. And I only had like, I think I'd built up and added a bit more, and I got about something like 5 ETH. I still remember I flicked over to a MetaMask wallet in order to create an NFT collection, which was like my paintings. So like doing real life paintings. And so the two have always been super intertwined, I guess. Which is like art and sort of crypto for me. There you go. And that is almost literally my journey. But it was CoinSpot, not Coinbase. There you go. But this, do you know what's sad is, like, obviously, OSF, congratulations. You know, you're about to have a kid and whatever. Mando, yes, got a kid, still managing to keep fit. Don't know enough about KBM, but like,
at least fit one in the group.
but like, I have 2 kids, and my camera roll is all my own comics and perfects and stuff. Like, it's embarrassing, really. Like, my girlfriend picks it up and she like scrolls through it and she's like, why is so few of these things the kids? And I'm like,
yeah, mine's my faces on many different people.
It's the same. My camera roll, it's just a joke of wreck guys and memes. Like, it's just, and then intertwined with pictures of my daughter.
Like, it's embarrassing in so many ways. But yeah, so look, I uploaded the first stuff up, and I thought like NFTs were so big, I will sell these paintings. And obviously no one gave a crap. I think I listed them for like 0.03 ETH. And they were obviously, again, I didn't know at the time. Is that learn by doing thing? But I didn't know at the time. It was like obviously not a proper NFT. It was done through the OpenSea shared like a storefront. And then, yeah, I sort of sat on that for a while. And again, I just still had the same ETH. I didn't really buy more or less. I am embarrassed to say I bought a fair amount of Cardano.
Oh God! Which,
yeah.
So I think right there.
This was unreal at the time for me. I was like, "Oh, it's the future." Journey Crypto said it's going to $20 or whatever. I think I bought Cardano when it was like, you know, 50 cents or something, and it went to like $2, and I was like, "I am the best."
And is this on an alternate account? Like, were you still Boldly in Ionis then? Like, can we see your paintings, or was that an alt? Oh, we may have lost him. It seems.
Or is he's done. He's done.
While we're here, without our
train,
we are live on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. No, I lied about those two, but Twitter, and we have chat that we can see now as well. Apparently, we have the technology now. So
it gets kind of nasty towards the last 20 minutes, because then all the Rollbit code guys come in and they don't want to listen to the show.
They just come in and ruin us, basically, for the last
10 minutes. I mean, rinse us.
We need to hire a mod for the chat.
Yeah.
These assholes. You see, you guys, I got a Rollbit background. There's two robots fighting there in my background, if you take a look.
And your famous dog.
Yeah, my famous dog. Jaden makes me some fire backgrounds. That's actually happening outside. But anyway, what do we want to talk about now that we've got rid of Leonidas?
I think we're done, right?
Yeah, I think that's it. All right. Ciao. See you guys later.
We should talk about OSF shitcoin trading this week. It's been
give us some.
Can, Can we go through all different shit coins you've bought? Oh, yeah, he's back.
He's back.
Don't talk about Alpha. Where did we get to? I had it pumping out my phone.
I think I said, is this, like, are these your original ones? Like, can we see them on Bold Leonidas? Was this an alt?
No, this, look, this is one of the points that I've always made. It's always through me. They still exist. Obviously, they kind of oddly got bought up over the last week. There's a very strange story, which is that Snowfrow bought one.
Did he?
Snowfrow bought one, like, I'm talking like 2021. Snowfrow bought one. But it's a very odd scenario. And I actually sent the painting to the Art Blocks head office.
That's cool.
So Snowfrow bought the Genesis back in 2021, but it's nothing to do with like Pepe or anything like that.
Literally just my paintings. Like, it's the oddest thing when you look back. Like,
that you knew talent when you saw it. You just had an eye for talent, you know?
No, that wasn't it at all. That it's all part of my lore. It's all part of my backstory, isn't it? No, I just got absolutely, and this is why I always connect with Rec Guys, I just got absolutely destroyed trying to trade NFTs. And I wrote some Medium article saying, like, Jesus Christ. So I had that 5 ETH, and I swear in like 2 weeks, I got down to like under one trying to trade NFTs. And I had like a full on, like, not full on breakdown. Let's not go too far and sound too extreme, but I fully like lost it. And I was like, right, do you know what? I'm just going to start creating instead. And I kind of put up this article and just sort of said, like, what the hell? NFTs, like, Jesus Christ. Like, I am not like a gambler. I'm not, sorry, Rollbit sponsors, but like, I'm just not. And I was like, how have I got pulled into this thing where I've managed to lose this much this quickly? Do you know what I mean? Like, as in what's going on mentally to have pulled me there? And and Snowfrow read it. And then I randomly pulled out. See, I did this thing, but it was like, I even tried to sort of write articles. I still remember I got into contact with like Zach XBT, because I was doing like exposés on things where they were just scamming people, and I was trying to, I was finding all this sort of evidence about a few different things. And I remember like really early, because Zach XBT just followed me the other week, and I saw like this cringe message of me like, hey, I found some evidence.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I just tried it all, I guess.
Somebody trying to get me a
I respect that. Ago.
Remember, somebody Zach XBT'd me for being in the same home as Trader NJ.
It's actually, so maybe that was me.
The house I'm in right now. Turns out, the Google background, this fucking guy literally like wrote a whole message tag. It was hilarious. Maybe like, am I fucking crazy? This is the same place. I'm like, I guess we've never had a meeting before. This is virtual, buddy.
It was insane. I'd love if Trader whatever walked in the background right now. Just, you know what I mean?
Just in boxes, like half naked.
Yeah, right. The straight Jay walks through. So that was comical. But I don't know where my tangent went with that, but that was just
No, but this is it. I think there was like in that early bit, there was so much going up so fast, so much going on. It was really hard to get your head around, like as in entering from any other space, like there seemed to be people so accustomed to it. And I felt like a fish out of water the whole time. Like the money never felt normalized to me. And I guess still doesn't to a certain extent. I still, to this day, can't reconcile the two worlds. And I guess I started to become like, well, there's a pessimism, I guess, about me with it all. And I think the comics are kind of like to stop me from just being negative, I guess.
Oh, really? Like, so you fell out of love with the space in the bear market, and that made you cope with it? Is that what you're saying? Or do you actually like the space?
No, I really do like it. But whenever someone would say something about like a project or something, I'd be like, what do you like when someone says about like roadmaps? I'm like, what did you all expect? Like, what do you think utility is? Like, what do you know what I mean? Like, why did you think that this random team of people was gonna offer a roadmap where they created like the new Fortnite? Like, even as you look at but like even as you looked ones that you kind of felt like you trusted, like one of the ones that I really loved the idea of during the bull market, you know, was like Frontier. There was one that was kind of backed by Ubisoft and they were going to make a Web3 game and all this stuff. And you get so jaded and pissed off as you watch all these things kind of like disappoint you. And I guess the thing that didn't disappoint me consistently was kind of the general people in the whole space, as we call it. And everyone just kind of pushed on. And I guess, somebody said like, it's like being born from within, like as in, I am one of you guys. Like, I'm disappointed by it. As I am trying to trade and losing. Like,
yeah.
I think the first cycle you believe the narratives. I think second cycle you realize you it doesn't matter. Like, you just have to believe that everyone is believing in the narratives. Like, you kind of get that it's really everyone just wants the hype, right? Like, so yeah. I think I read the last week that Celestia makes $12 a day or something like that.
You gotta share my narrative belief from 2017, my first ICO, Lampix. You can't tell now, the narrative was blockchain token that fucking shows we transform any surface into a smart surface. You'll see here.
Wow.
I don't know what the token was, but they received $12.1 million in ETH for this token sale on August 18th, 2017. And this was my first ICO. So I fell for the narratives my first time around too. Yeah. I mean, I thought that was a great narrative. You know, Lamp Picks, pictures by
But this is it.
I mean, that is like unbelievable.
In the cold light of day, it's all so ridiculous, isn't it? Like, this is the thing. And I think I just try and sort of remember that. The amount of times that you have to sort of go, oh my God, are we really here again? Like, are we doing this again? Like I don't understand how we have influencers within the space who everyone knows have like ripped everyone off. And then they come again and post a contract address and everyone freaking buys it again. Like, I just don't follow.
I'm annoyed by that stuff. This is what we realized by the second cycle. It's like people actually are only here for the gamble, right? They, like, if you are the gamble provider, they hate you, but then they kind of realize that, like, the Ponzi they can maybe make money out of. So I think you realize that people actually are here a lot of the time just to, like, try and you know, fucking hit a jackpot at the right time. But I agree with you. Like, if you... In the bear market, it can feel quite bad because it's like, oh, fuck, not going back. But now the Ponzi's are starting to come up again. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, it's great. It's going great.
That Dwight whatever showed up Dwight the other Howard. Day, this basketball. Yeah, never heard of him in my life, obviously, right? Tries to launch something on friggin' AVAX and sells like 300 and something mints. And you kind of go, yes, I'm proud of everyone. We didn't buy this random dude's Fiverr art. And Zach XBT, you know, shows up in his sword and shield and sort of says, like, piss off. And everyone goes, yeah, and, like, likes it. But it's funny, like, Sisyphus will post, like, you know, anything, and everyone's, like, apes it. And, like, hold on, why did we choose to get on the horse for Dwight Howard? And we'll sort of back
good Ponzi guy. Versus bad Ponzi, you know? That's the thing. Like, you can forgive a good Ponzi.
Everyone's just trying to gamble. Got to gamble to make it out here, you know.
Yeah. So people have slightly. I mean, you've had a meteoric like last 6 months in particular. Like comparisons to Beeple, even though with fewer dicks, I think has been the main everyday memes. Which I think you've been trying to do. Like, how many days have you done every day now?
It's just coming up to a year,
right?
That I've done, wow. But I've done an average of 3 a day,
right? Okay,
so it's I think I've done like 1400, I think, was the last count.
Three a day, You're on the path to $218 million sale.
There you go. Look at that. That was quick maths right there.
Three times Beeple's amount of 69.
That's how you can afford the same house as Trader. Exactly. Or whatever.
Big numbers. I don't know if anyone noticed, but I moved in. I moved in. I moved in 10 minutes ago.
Unreal.
I have to say, KBM's been accused of a lot of shit. Like, I think at one time they tried to take you down for being like, of Bybit or something. I don't even reply to that sort of shit.
Yeah, little do they know what I'm actually doing back here. Those are all smoke screens for my very nefarious activities that I'm performing. Yeah.
Oh, there's OSF. He's moved in too.
Boys. Three amigos plus Trader NJ. Anyway.
Yeah,
it's amazing how you're all sat in the same spot. So yeah.
My question was: are you a meme coin guy? Like, how do you stay relevant on that sort of shit? Because you do also follow a lot of the meme coin shit. Are you got Deck Screener open all time, or like, I guess you said you don't really do that much, but you clearly are following meme coins. So, yeah.
This is it. Like, it's funny. Like somebody said, like comedy is a very serious thing. Like I always remember that kind of line, and it's that thing of like. Meme coins, like I'm very lucky to be in what is a super tight group of quite successful traders. Like, as in, between them, you've got sort of your like proper full-time researcher, like savant, like who will just pull off really smart, clever trades all day long. And then you've got this absolute gun who just understands the meme coin market. He just gets it. And he posted us Pepe at like 2 million market cap and sort of said, and he was like, I've not seen anything like this. He just instantly said it. And I think it was at 1 million he said that. And I was like, oh, right. Like, and I went back and I hadn't really bothered with meme coins for a while. Like the whole, like I obviously missed the first round of them, like Doge and all that. And he'd been on one called like World Cup Inu or whatever, and I think that like that ran to like 40 million, and at the time for a meme coin that was like huge. And I'd been watching him do this, and then he came along and said, "Oh, Pepe's like gonna be big."
What's he?
I ain't gonna. This is my inside guy. This is the deep. This is how you get to pull these. So Pepe,
we speak every day. You haven't given me one call.
Yeah, but why would I?
What do you mean? Why would you?
Look at your house.
Why would you? You don't want to get richer.
Well, yeah. So look, I bought, but look, I'm still a paper hand. I still managed somehow to lose on most things. But I went to bed on Pepe at 2 million. I woke up the next morning and it was like 7 million. So I bought some, but I don't go in heavy. Like, I'm talking at the time, my entire probably ETH balance, like, this is where I think you guys don't, and how I do sort of, I guess, how I am appealing to people. Like, I think I only had 5 ETH, like, full stop in crypto. And I put in, like, 0.2, I think, into Pepe at 7 million. And, yeah, and then I'd sort of, would watch it. I went to bed and I was like, oh shit, like this is up a fair bit. Like, and obviously I sold, sort of scaled out of my tiny bag. Like every time it kind of doubled, I was just selling. And I like, but each morning I was just like euphoric. It hit like 90 million or 100 million. I was like, Jesus Christ, like what's going on? And then obviously I just had the absolute, there you go. So I was drawing that because I was actually succeeding. But I think I had like, yeah, put 0.2 in, and the classic, you know, when you check how much your bag was worth at the top, I think it, if I'd have just held, I think it was worth, you know, something like 25 ETH or whatever, something bananas, something that was, it was way more than that, actually. I think it was 50, 60, 70 ETH. But I think I sold in total for probably about an ETH. Like, but yeah. Yeah, there you go. So that was legit how much I think I had at one point. It was about 40 something billion, I think I bought.
Fuck, that's a lot.
Yeah. And,
I mean, yeah, how do you hold on to stuff?
Look, that balance, that's a legit screenshot. That balance there is a legit screenshot at the time. Yeah. So it's I've got 0.4 ETH.
A screenshot of what could have been. Like, you could be in this house with us right now.
Look, the other stuff, this is it. I don't, Pepe makes sense to me as a coin. Like, genuinely, like, when I bought it, I was like, okay, well, if this is the one, and then you look at the guys who made it, and it starts to feel a bit horrible and a bit crappy, because you go, oh, it's just another team of ruggers and blah, 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 and they've done all this stuff before. But obviously, there has to be, in my opinion, being somebody who drew so much inspiration from Matt Fury, like, there has to be a Pepe coin, in my opinion. Like, I see far more memes based on him than I do on Doge. So that whole thing makes sense. What doesn't make sense is the shit that, like, OSF is posting with that slow face or whatever. I'm like...
Hey, don't hit slow, man.
OSF is a purveyor of proper shit coins.
I'm deep. I'm very deep. We call Top G is legit. Like,
what are the fundamentals on slow face and Top G?
I just buy things that make me laugh, and I just go in. If it makes me laugh a lot, then I just like go in hard, and then I usually lose my money. But that's probably
80 grand.
I think I bought Harry Potter Obama Sonic 10 Anu or whatever. I think I bought that at like 500k market cap, and I sold for a loss like an hour later. And then I watched it run to like whatever 100 million whatever.
Yeah.
That one was pretty painful, because I was like, this was the first one that had made me laugh. Like, out of any meme coin, there was some decent memes coming out of it. And like, it takes a lot to get me like actually cracking up. And there was some that were coming out of that, and I was just like, this is awesome. And I bought some for that reason of the stupid name. The sort of memes made me laugh. Like, I bought for, I guess, all the right reasons within meme coins. But I was like, yeah, I reckon it was like 2 hours later I sold for a loss from like this 500k market cap.
In the comments, bought Sonic at 50k market cap, also sold for
Jesus
a loss.
Christ. All right, so I'm not the worst.
But I have to say, your comics are a little bit ETH focused, right? You are still an ETH guy. There are a lot of soul shit coins happening right now. I feel like you need to bridge a little bit and start playing.
Someone was saying this recently, like, the soul shit coin side, to me, like, it's slightly less edgy. It's slightly less, like, the ETH ones tend to be a bit more like deep down the rabbit hole. They tend to be a bit more extreme. Whereas Sol, I don't think I fully grasp yet. I don't fully understand. Like, I bought Sol shit coins when they kind of really way back. Like, I say way back, but like, there was guacamole. When that first went up, like, I bought the absolute schmico top of guac. Like, and it went down faster than anything I've ever bought on ETH. And it really like burned me, because I was like, okay, I don't get these guys. This thing wasn't even, it was at like a million market cap. And they dumped it so hard. I think I put in like 2 SOL, and it was like 0.1 SOL in like under a day. And I was like, Jesus Christ, I can't take my eye off this thing. Like, these guys are just absolutely obliterating charts. Like, I cannot pay enough attention.
The low transaction fee. You just burn hot.
Yeah, like
burn hot and fast, and mostly scams. But you know,
I see. Mine would have been before. Yeah, it would have been before December. Yeah, it would have been that one. There you go. There I am.
All right.
So I should have just probably held it. Right. Apparently. There you go. It was fast.
Where did it go from there?
Yeah.
Went up a lot, huh?
Here you go. Look, he's doing all the stuff that I don't do. Just got to do feelings.
You would have been rich again.
Yeah, so I bought over there. That's hard to look at. Yeah, can't even see my line.
This poor guy depressed.
I didn't even know. I didn't even know I was at depression.
Now you got another meme, like how much I would have had at the top of guacamole coin.
Yeah, Jesus. I'll have to work that out later.
I mean, honestly, it's not that funny of a coin. It didn't make me laugh that much. So fundamentally, I wouldn't have bought it. I mean, like, well, you think of as like ex-bond traders that are watching a show, like, this motherfucker just said the fundamentals where I laughed or laugh a little harder, and he's like just in this house, you know. Like,
guacamole for me, you see, the only reason I got it was I really enjoyed the concept of buy the dip.
Buy the dip. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I get it now. Okay.
I was like, this is good.
You sold the dip.
But I sold the dip as well. I mean, it's but yeah, look, but the sole shitcoin side, like, I just it's that fast transaction fee, that kind of, like, I guess, like, more PG approach, like Bonk and Dog with Hat and whatever. Like, Dog with Hat, I looked at a really small market cap. Like, I did a with Hat comic super yeah, early on because like, it's funny, you know. I didn't buy any because, like, I'm not smart.
But I respect that. It's like, you've got the power to influence prices, but you just don't buy any and then just do a piece and then it rips.
But this is it. I got a lot. Did you guys see, like, this one? I kind of deleted all the stuff of it because it got really awkward. But someone made a comic that sort of said, hey, guys, I can fix ETH. And then he just sort of presents and it's like, ETH with Hat. And someone made an ETH with Hat coin, and then they sent me 50% of the supply on Sol.
Did you sell it?
And it was worth, like, well, I was looking at it and I was like, and I didn't think, I think I don't have the scale of people, because I sort of tweeted out like, someone sent me 50 million or whatever ETH with Hat. And then the thing starts running because of stupid Sol, and it was worth, like, what they sent me was worth like $30,000 or something within like a matter of an hour. Like, I remember I just nipped out to the shop to buy some milk, literally. And I was like, checked it and I was like, oh shit, like, and I was stood there still holding the milk, you know, when you just, like, don't actually continue with your life because something's happened. And I was like tweeting out like, oh shit, like, please don't do this. Like, don't be buying this friggin', like, this wasn't a seal of approval. And I think I forget that I have followers. I think I forget that there would be anything that would happen. And so, yeah, I like, burnt it.
That's very noble of you.
That's what I said. Yeah, I said, that's super noble, dude.
Power, like, of influence.
So, like, I burnt it. And that would have been, like, my balance of crypto. Like, as in... I think I've got, like,
you could have just, I think you could have just dumped it, nuked it to zero, and been like, ETH without Hat, and then just moved on.
Yeah, that's a KBM move. From there.
Look, if I'd have come up with that joke, maybe.
ETH without Hat meme when he takes off the hat, drops to zero. I don't know. It's just creative direction. You don't have to go on that.
But yeah, I got back home with this. get back home with this slightly warm milk because I've been sat out of it for too long. And I told my missus, I was like, I just burnt like $50,000. And she was like,
you don't tell your missus that, man. Come on.
You don't tell your missus. I'm going to get her involved. You're going to respect her.
That's dangerous. That is dangerous to tell her.
It was, so yeah, like, as in, but that was, I guess, since that moment, like, I guess, on any of those obviously super low cap stuff, that's why I try and, where possible, like, I really genuinely, I realize trying to have morals in this space is a bit weird, but like, I just don't talk about, like, as in, and if I do a comic on it, I try and have just not bought any. Like, the only things that I'll do is, like, I'll say about Sol, ETH, or Bitcoin or whatever, you know, and I can be bullish or bearish or whatever. But if I do anything on meme coins, I just try and not touch them, even if I'm talking about them, even though that probably means that they're enough in the zeitgeist to pump or whatever. I'm really conscious of being that, just being able to pump tiny stuff now a bit, because I've turned down a million meme coins, like, that have asked me to do comics for them. So why would I do one for free, pump their bag? You know, it's just a weird thing now. Like, as in, there is enough of a consensus behind. Like, I realized at that point, I guess, when that one happened. Like, oh shit, well, if I'm going to keep this kind of moral code that I've got to be careful at this point. to not. So I did one on slow. I haven't touched a single slow, and I don't
your
even slow find
one
it
was
funny.
So good. It, your slow was hilarious.
Did it help the price? Or?
No, I think it's.
I don't think it would. Well,
no,
it did mark a, near the top. But like I said to OSF, oh, I'll do a slow one. You know, you like slow, whatever. Bats had been posting about it. You know, I'll do a slow one. But like, it was enough of a market cap that I knew that I would have no, that I would have no impact on something once it's run to a certain point. I know that there's no impact that I can have. So it felt all right about it.
So tell us about your DMs. Because you obviously do take shots at a lot of people. BitBoy gets shot at quite a lot on your comics. Like, you do have certain people that you're constantly just jabbing at. Do you ever get complaints? You're like, who's asking for comics these days?
Yeah, it's funny. Like, obviously, I really try and not make any enemies, like, wherever possible. Like, I try and make it like supportive, or at least that they can laugh at it. Like, there was one that I did on Gainsy a while back, and I actually sent it to Gainsy before I put it out. I just said, are you okay with this kind of thing? Because Gainsy, weirdly, was like one of the very first people to share any of my stuff. And so I don't kind of care whether people like him or not. Like, it's one of those things of like, you have your own relationship with each person, I guess. So like Gainsy, I flicked it through to, and he literally just said back, like, I'm bulletproof. That was it. Yeah. So I literally said,
I love it.
It was a banger. Like, I knew when I was drawing it, like, I was absolutely like pissing myself. Like, and I knew it was, but I was like, I don't want to put it out. I sent it to Gainsy, and he was just like, that's great. Like, and he just said, I'm bulletproof. Like, I don't care. Like, and that was really kind of nice, as in like, and I really like that expression in terms of sort of that influencer side of things, of just saying like, I'm bulletproof. Like,
hey, you just gotta,
you know,
take,
you can't hurt. Cause I know like KBM, you'll get a load of crap. Like, even just from OSF and Mando, but like,
oh, yeah.
we haven't given crap.
During the show. But yeah, like, and this is it. It's trying to build decent relationships. But that being said, there's certain ones like BitBoy who I think are just a universal bad. Like, I don't care to have a relationship with BitBoy.
Is it you're mates with BitBoy, right? You guys went to BitBoy? Dinner. Yeah.
Met him in the Bahamas once last year. I was there with Gainsy, actually. And then BitBoy was there, and Icebags was there too. And he invited BitBoy to dinner. He showed up, and Gainsy and BitBoy hated each other. And we didn't tell Gainsy that BitBoy would be there. So we sat him next to each other and just like, they showed up, and it was real
amazing.
Weird. There's the fucking picture.
He's like fucking.
Right, he's on it.
Yeah, I think this is sent to the SEC now.
Oh, wow.
This is when he was on a good arc, though, right? This is like he just got on.
Like,
Yeah. Like, it felt like he was. And then he left his wife. And really went downhill after that.
Yeah. So my ones on him leaving his missus were like brutal. Like, they were definitely some of my harshest ones.
Can you bring that one up, actually? Yeah.
Yeah, there was a couple that I did on him. There was one that I actually posted, and someone was like, this is too far. And I actually deleted it. And it was like fully bad. Like, it was bad. So like, every so often I let myself loose and sort of really like the same as Ben.eth. Like, I just think he's just such a net bad. Like, I don't feel like building a relationship is worthwhile. Whereas for the most part, like, you know, I'm not going to be, I think you get a sense when you're in it for long enough of who you don't care to build a relationship with, and therefore within the comics. And luckily, like, I literally had a phone call with a lawyer the other day just to kind of make sure about sort of the legalities of it all, and sort of checking within satire, like, it's all okay as long as I'm not like, you know, the BitBoy ones, I say I've gone too far, but really it's not like defamation of character too much. Like, that's the danger. Like, I do have to watch out for these things. Like, as it gets bigger and whatever. Yeah.
If anyone does a lawsuit, just send contract address. I'm sure people would fucking send you ETH to defend yourself. Bitboy went after, right? Like, fuck that. If somebody comes after a comic book artist.
Yeah, like, that's it. I really fail to see how anyone would. But yeah, so in general, like, I don't know. I really genuinely consider sort of the Amazon approach, which sounds really silly. But essentially, Amazon trained their customer service reps to hold the customer regardless, right? So even if you lose money, keep the customer. That was what they were trained to do. So if you had a faulty thing like bloody OSF with his mic, right? early days, Amazon was like, you make this guy happy. So if he calls you up and says his mic's broken, you barely even question him and you send him a new mic.
That doesn't seem to be the pattern that OSF is explaining.
No.
Well, no. No, he's gone through the full manufacturer route. But that was Amazon's like thing. And I guess to a certain extent, it's because their main thing was growth, right? Their main thing was keeping people on board and growth. And that's been the same as my philosophy around this. Like, don't make any enemies. Just keep kind of try and ensure that everyone's on board. And you keep growing. So as in, even if I've got a banger comic that can bash someone, but I want to have a longer term relationship with them. To give a good example, the Pancake Bra drama, right? Pancakes Bra crap the other day with Racer, right? I had 18,000 comic ideas and I did zero because I'm like, I don't want to weigh in on this. I don't actually want to weigh in on this because this is still me drawing it. This is still essentially an opinion I'm putting out. And I really don't know enough. I don't want to make an enemy of either of these guys, Racer, who I've spoken to a bit, Pancakes Bra, who obviously within the space is really liked. So what am I going to do in a comic where everyone's bashing one side or the other that isn't going to be a net negative for me?
Yeah, you got to keep it funny. That's for certain.
That's like, it wasn't funny.
On one side, it's not really that funny, really. It's just like, oh, we're just piling on somebody.
Yeah, I think I'm
so. Yeah, that.
Go ahead.
No, it's all good.
Did you have one against KBM? Is that where this was going? But you kept it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, where's? I hope not.
They're all in drafts.
All in drafts.
I think of the lawful good, chaotic evil chart, and somebody did that for all the crypto Twitter personalities back in the day. I remember, but I guess
yeah.
You stay away from the chaotic. No, you do the chaotic evils like BitBoy. You can go.
But that's it. Yeah. There's just like, I guess, a vibe you get over time of who is. It's the same as like the Anubis DAO stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't chimed in on any of that because I'm Robot. Like. But like I haven't chimed in on any of that because one, it was before my time, so I wasn't there enough. But also two, like it feels like I guess everyone's so emotional about it that I'm not sure it would hit the right tone. Like it wouldn't hit the right people in the right way. So I don't know. I overthink them, obviously.
I think it's good to overthink them, honestly. Like you've managed to dance through the last year where there's been some bad shit happen and not make that many enemies apart from like, the real bad guys. I agree with you that you have to wait until they're really the bad guys because I think it's easy to paint a picture. It looks like we are approaching the end of the show because our comments are increasingly about how oily my face is.
I don't even need to see the timer anymore. It's like code.
Anyway. And where the code is, so that is that's where we're at. It's you're going to stay on, right? You're going to stay on for the spins. You listen to Rec Radio most weeks, right? You just never have one, it seems, or like it's
So early. I listen to it on the podcast. I listen to it on my bike while I'm cycling.
Nice.
So I don't actually. Yeah, this is my first time. Well, it's 5 a.m. Like the sun's not even risen here.
Yeah, we're not very
on my balcony. Like.
We're not very
the sky where we're at, but
yeah. So, yeah, it's very odd that I'll be listening to this podcast later and being like, what is this guy talking about?
Thank you for waking up at 5 a.m. That's obviously been a big help. We should get. How are we doing? How are we going to do this today, though? Yeah,
should we do the second code?
We have to do the final question, though.
Final question. Yeah. From to you, Baldy and Addis. How? What's your? Sorry, I'm feeling the beer now. It's pretty.
You haven't said anything for about 30 minutes.
Pretty mango-y.
I mean, yeah, I feel very mango and lychee-ish right now.
It's one of your five a day.
Two of my five a day, two fruits. How do you avoid getting wrecked?
I think, look, it's just being long-term bullish, short-term, trying to not give a shit. Like, if you're long-term bullish, provided you buy with the view to another cycle, then you can largely sit on your hands. Like, that is how to avoid getting wrecked for me in the long run. I think these meme coins, you'll get chopped to shreds. Like, if you're not really deep in the rabbit hole, you're just going to get beaten up. So, yeah, for me, it'd just be... Oh, shit. Do you know what just drove past?
It's been run over.
No joke. This is no joke. An actual bin truck just drove past, but it was actually called Bin Boy.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
It's mostly BitBoy's new company. that's amazing. But yeah, look, I don't... I just would say long-term bullishness is a general thing. And then just, yeah, selling at the absolute pico top to prove to your missus that it's real.
Seems like good advice.
Christ, Mando, these comments about your head.
Dude, I've been catching straight for weeks now.
Like, you know, this guy's trying to at that guy.
Give me a sweaty head.
This is the same guy every week, man. It's the same guy every week who comes in and just
let's do the robot thing now.
Second code.
Guys, I'm dropping the code as his username, and he just comes in for the last 5 minutes of the story.
All right, second code is bestcartoon29.
Oh. I'm just pissing myself.
Okay, let's get these fucking spins going because I got to run to another thing right after this.